comes from Psalms 150, and it is fitting. The very last book of Psalms, and David and his musical group, if you will, sum it all up this way. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his mighty sanctuary. Praise God in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Those who are able, if you'll kneel with me, will pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Sabbath. I thank you for what you have created. And Father, we give praise to you for that sole ownership of creation. Father, we ask for forgiveness that we might approach you and ask you to send your angels to be amongst us today, that they might join in the praise that we lift in your name today. I pray that you be with those who have need, special need, and if we can be your arms and feet, please impress us to do so. And those listening, if their hearts can be lifted of burdens through these sounds that we perform in your honor and name, I pray that it be so. I thank you for your son's sacrifice. I thank you for his redeeming power. And I thank you that he is our Savior. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And Philippians 2:9-11. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 1 John 1:5-9. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 9:14. But much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our own sins by his blood.
Thank you.
paragraph from The Desire of Ages, page 641. Love to man is the earthward manifestation of the love of God. It was to implant this love, to make us children of one family, that the King of Glory became one with us. And when his parting words are fulfilled, love one another as I have loved you, when we love the world as he has loved it, then for us his mission is accomplished. We are fitted for heaven, for we have heaven in our hearts. John 15:9-17. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. The Greyhound thrashed about in the North Atlantic storm for over a week. Its canvas sails were ripped, and the wood on one side of the ship had been torn away and splintered. The sailors had little hope of survival, but they mechanically worked the pumps, trying to keep the vessel afloat. On the 11th day of the storm, sailor John Newton was too exhausted to pump. So he was tied to the helm and tried to hold the ship on its course. From 1 o'clock until midnight, he was at the helm. With the storm raging fiercely, Newton had time to think. His life seemed as ruined and wrecked as the battered ship he was trying to steer through that storm. Since the age of 11, he had lived a life at sea. Sailors were not noted for the refinement of their manners. But Newton had a reputation for profanity and coarseness and debauchery, which even shocked many sailors. John Newton was known as the great blasphemer. He sank so low at one point that he was even a servant to slaves in Africa for a brief period. His mother had prayed he would become a minister and had early taught him the scriptures and Isaac Watts' Divine Songs for Children. Some of those early childhood teachings came to mind now. He remembered Proverbs 1, 24 to 31. And in the midst of that storm, those verses seemed to confirm Newton in his despair. Because I have called and ye refused, ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also laughed at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. John Newton had rejected his mother's teachings and had led other sailors into unbelief. Certainly he was beyond hope and beyond saving, even if the scriptures were true. Yet Newton's thoughts began to turn to Christ. He found a New Testament and began to read. Luke 11, 13 seemed to assure him that God might still hear him. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That day at the helm, March 21, 1748, was a day Newton remembered ever after. On that day, the Lord sent from on high and delivered me out of the deep waters. Many years later, as an old man, Newton wrote in his diary of March 21, 1805, "Not well able to write, but I endeavor to observe the return of this day with humiliation, prayer, and praise. Only God's amazing grace could and would take a rude, profane, slave-trading sailor and transform him into a child of God." Newton never ceased to stand in awe of God's work in his life. Though Newton continued in his profession of sailing and slave trading for a time, his life was transformed. He began a disciplined Bible study, prayer, and Christian reading schedule, and tried to be a Christian example to the sailors under his command. Philip Doddridge's The Rise and Progress of Religion in the Soul provided much spiritual comfort, and a fellow Christian captain he met off the coast of Africa guided Newton further in his Christian faith. Newton left slave trading and took the job of tide surveyor at Liverpool, but he began to think he had been called to the ministry. His mother's prayers for her son were answered. And in 1764, at the age of 39, John Newton began 43 years of preaching the gospel of Christ. John and his beloved wife Mary, at the end of his life, John would write that their love equaled all that the writers of romance have imagined. They moved to a little market town of Olney, and he spent his mornings in Bible study and his afternoons visiting his parishioners. There were regular Sunday morning and afternoon services and meetings for children and young people. There was also a Tuesday evening prayer meeting, which was always well attended. For the Sunday evening services, Newton often composed a hymn that developed the lessons in Scripture for the evening. In 1779, 280 of these were collected and combined with 68 hymns by Newton's friend and parishioner, William Cowper, and published as the Olney Hymns. The most famous of all the Olney Hymns, Face, Review, and Expectation, grew out of David's exclamation in 1 Chronicles 17, and we know it today as Amazing Grace. Several other Olney hymns by Newton continued in use today, including How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds and Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. In 1779, Newton left Olney to become the rector of St. Mary Woolnoth in London. His ministry included the London poor, the merchant class, and the wealthy and influential. William Wilberforce, a member of Parliament and a prime mover in the abolition of slavery, was strongly influenced by John Newton's life and preaching. Newton's thoughts on the African slave trade, based on his own experiences as a slave trader, were very important in securing the British abolition of slavery. Missionaries William Carey and Henry Martin also gained strength from Newton's counsel. Newton lived to be 82 years old and continued to preach and have an active ministry until he was beset by fading health in the last 2 or 3 years of his life. Newton never ceased to be amazed by God's grace and told his friends, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things. That I am a great sinner, and that Christ is a great Savior." The Olney hymns first brought attention to Newton's friend, William Cowper, who later became a famous national poet and was considered the first of the Romantic poets. Cowper's "There is a fountain filled with blood, and God moves in mysterious way" have continued to find their way into today's hymnals. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Twas grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And 1 John 4:19-20. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. And John 14:21-24. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Matthew 4:18-20. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Mark 10:21. Jesus, looking at him, felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've decided, have you? Amen. James 4:6. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. In Exodus 33:18-23, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it shall come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Deuteronomy 5:24. You said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet he lives. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Psalm 19:1. And finally, Psalm 138:5. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And before they play their last song, I just want to say a thank you to the brass ensemble and Kathy. How many of you out there played an instrument? All the ones who played brass were licking your lips and moistening them. My trumpet got sent to Africa because we had missionaries in the family. And it's the reason every king's coronation or queen's coronation, it's the brass. And when our Savior returns, we're going to hear the trump sound. Thank you to each of you.
Thank you.
also would like to thank Rejoicing Brass for sharing their gifts with us today. And if you'll bow your heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gifts that you have bestowed upon your children, that we might in some way bring praise to you for what you and your Son have done.
Amen.
Father, I pray that the rejoicing spirit that we have been gifted through this sharing will continue through the week, that people will recognize the love of you through the praise that we keep on our lips for what you have done. Father, we have read the sweet words from your Bible, and we have read stories of your redeeming love, and I pray that we'll keep those tight, that we'll share those, and that we will continue to expand your kingdom. And Father, I thank you for what you have done and what your Son has sacrificed. I pray this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.